prosperity for Christians? Question mark. In other words, is prosperity for Christians? We're going to be looking at several different aspects. We're going to consider, is it evil? Is prosperity evil? Is it wrong? Is it wrong for Christians? Is it sinful? Is it selfish? Now, first of all, let's think about what is prosperity. Well, when we talk about prosperity, when the Bible talks about prosperity, it's talking about everything that will affect your life. It's talking about a total relationship with your whole life. In other words, just because you have a few dollars or a bunch of dollars doesn't mean that you're really prospering. Because if you have two or three cancers eating you up and you can't get healed, you're not prospering, are you? However, for the purpose of this seminar, we're centering in, zeroing in, as it were, on financial and material prosperity. Why? Because that's where we need our faith built. That's where we live in every day. How did you get here tonight? It took money, didn't it? It took money. You say, well, it didn't cost me anything. I rode my bicycle. How did you get the energy to pedal that bicycle? You had to buy the food, didn't you? You say, oh no, I have a garden. I grew my own food. Well, where did you get the seed for the garden? Where did you get the land? You either have to buy the land, rent the land. You either have to, either you somehow or another had to get some seed, buy it, have it given to you. Sooner or later, there's just absolutely no way that you can trace anything back, any activity in this earth, and it not go back to money or some measure of wealth. You understand what I'm saying? You can't breathe without money. By money, of course, I mean wealth, I mean prosperity, I mean material things. So it's important, if we're going to live and operate and be effective in this earth, that we have our faith enlarged concerning material prosperity, material and financial blessings. Because if we don't have our faith enlarged, guess what? Come on in, brother, this is the place. If we don't have our faith enlarged concerning material things, guess what? We're never going to be able to do much to affect this earth. We're going to be little bitty skinny Christians in our actions. We have got to find out from God's Word either one way or the other. We got to get this settled in our mind. Is it God's will or is it not? We've got to get this settled. Is it evil? Is it wrong? Is it sinful? Is it selfish or is it not? We've got to get it settled in our minds. How far can we go with this? And that's another thing we're going to take the lid off. Oh, glory to God. I'm excited. But we've got to determine this. Well, how are we going to find out? We're only going to find out the truth, Jesus said, as we continue in His Word. As we continue in His Word. Well, I tried to resist the temptation, but I'm not going to do it. Turn back to 3 John 2 and hold those other places there. You probably have heard this scripture, but hear it again. 3 John, that's the third epistle to John, right before Jude and Revelation, you know. 3 John, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I don't know whether you've ever realized this or not, but traditional Christianity has regarded material, financial prosperity as wrong for Christians. Did you realize that? How many have ever been under any kind of teaching or preaching that made you think that sort of? Some of you have on the back row. Glad you came tonight, brother. Praise God. Well, that's the truth, nevertheless. I've been under it, around it, through it, in it, mostly under it. Anyway, that's it. That's the teaching. And they get it, of course, through taking certain scriptures and not taking the whole context of what God is saying and getting it out of proportion and not really realizing what God's Word is saying. And I call those objections to prosperity answered. That's another series. You'll have to get in for information about buying that set, which is really needful if you've never heard it. We're not going to cover those. We're just going to go straight on and not worry about all those little questions that come up. But we're going to build on the inside of you that it is God's will. Glory to God. It is God's will for you to prosper. This said, Beloved, I wish, or I desire, or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, somebody comes along and says, well, that's not talking about finances. That's not talking about material things. Well, that's fine, even if it's not, because that's not the only scripture in the Bible you understand. They say, well, what it really says there is that you would do well in all things, you know, even as you're doing well spiritually and so on. Well, let me ask you something. If you do well in everything you do, is that going to be reflected in your bank balance, in your pocketbook, or not? If you're always doing good, in other words, everything you do does good, it succeeds, it prospers. I mean, it's not a failure, in other words. Is that going to have an effect on your finances? Certainly it will. Is prosperity evil? Well, that's said there that I have no greater joy than that you walk in the truth. Truth isn't evil, is it? And he just said, I pray or I desire, I wish that you would prosper and be in health. Well, two openings, James the first chapter and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to look at these. Now, James the first chapter, verse 16 says, Do not err, my beloved brethren. Did you know that it's possible for beloved brethren to be in error? That's sad, isn't it? But it must be possible or God wouldn't have ever went to the trouble of putting this in His Word. He didn't say, Don't you heathen out there get in error. He said, My beloved brethren. In other words, this is people God loves dearly. He loves them tenderly. Oh, He just loves them so much. They're brethren. But they can be wrong. That ought to be very easy to understand. All you have to do is go look in the yellow pages. Go look under churches. A, B, C, Z, D, all the way down to Z. And why are there different churches? Because they're supposedly believing different... They are believing different things. Why are they believing different things? And then people come along and say, well, you can't believe anything about Christianity. Why, the churches, they all disagree. Well, how do I know which is right? I'll tell you how you're going to know which is right. That's by getting into God's Word for yourself and asking the author of the book to teach you. Fall down before Him and say, Oh Lord, teach me. I desire to know You. I desire to know Your will. I desire to walk with You. And I'll tell you, whenever He finds an open door like that, He is going to come in and manifest Himself to you. But you see, brethren can err. We can be wrong as humans. No human is above error. I don't care what they say about the Pope. They're wrong. You know, that's just it. I mean, even Dean Wall is not infallible. Nobody is. That's a human. Now, when we are standing on God's Word, that's a sure word of prophecy. That's a firm foundation. That's something that even though the most solid things we know about the earth that we're standing on, even though that'll pass away, even though that'll be changed, Jesus said, My words will never change, never pass away. That's firm. That's solid. Hallelujah. And we can depend on it. We can live on it. He says, Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Is prosperity evil? Well, if it's of God, it can't be evil. Because this says that only good gifts and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, our Father God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if prosperity was God's idea, if God was the author, the inventor, the originator of prosperity, I'm talking about material and financial, then it surely must not be evil. Right? Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter now. You're supposed to be there already. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is so good, these chapters here, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they talk about he's receiving an offering from the, from these churches. Hallelujah. And he's, so in the context, he's talking about material, financial, we'd say money. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, "For you know," some people don't know this, but you're going to by the time you get through here. Hallelujah. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." Why? "That you, through his poverty, might be rich." Why would Jesus suffer and become poor for us to be rich, if being rich was evil? Do you follow me? Now we're going to be all through my teaching, all my sessions, going to be covering these points. Is it evil? Is it bad? Is it sinful? Is it selfish? Is it God's will? And how far can we go with it? Hallelujah. "That you, through his poverty, might be rich." Now turn to Isaiah, the 48th chapter, quickly, please. Isaiah chapter 48. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48. I'll go ahead while you're looking for it. Isaiah 48, 17. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." Oh, Jesus is our Redeemer. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Now what business does the Lord, our Redeemer, have teaching us how to prosper if it's evil? Can you imagine if you had some children teaching them to do something evil? You wouldn't, would you? Do you think God would teach his children how to do something if it was evil, if it was bad, if it was wrong, or if it wasn't his will? Do you think he'd teach them that? I don't think he would. And he says, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river." I begin to study that word peace out, not just necessarily that word there, but through the scripture, I found this, hallelujah, is that the word peace, one of the main meanings of it to them was prosperity. Hallelujah. When they said shalom, like we say hello, which I don't know where hello came from, and I'm not too sure that's real good, but anyway, when they said peace, that's kind of like a greeting like in 3 John 2. I pray that, you know, I wish that you prosper, that everything goes well with you. That's what it's saying, that everything goes well with you. Well, if everything goes well with you, you're going to be all right, aren't you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says he's the one that teaches us to prosper and leads us by the way that we should go. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we praise you that you are the Almighty, that you are the Redeemer, O Lord, and that you do teach us to prosper and you lead us by the way that we should go. We're so thankful for it. We're so thrilled. Hallelujah. We're so glad, and we just praise you one more time right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Now turn to scripture in Psalms, verse 35, the 35th Psalm, please. Psalm 35, verse 27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." Psalm 37, or 35, 27. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, for you to get the picture of this and not just sit there like a bump on a log and it just kind of rolls over you, think about this. Have you ever just been really thrilled about something? I mean, you were just jumping up and down on the inside, maybe on the outside. You were rejoicing. You were thrilled. You were pleased. Have you ever really been pleased? Have you? Have you ever really been pleased? Well, if you haven't, hang around, you know. Glory to God. You got a lot to look forward to in life. Expect a miracle. He says here, the Lord has pleasure. In other words, He's thrilled. He's thrilled with the prosperity of His servant. Somebody says, yes, but that's under the old covenant, brother. I know that's why it's so thrilling, because Hebrews 8:6 says that we, under the new covenant, have a better covenant established upon better promises. Hallelujah. Because second or first Corinthians? Well, anyway, chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It says all the promises of God, verse 21, I believe. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. What does that mean? That means that all of God's promises, all of them, not just half of them, not just those under the old covenant, not just those under the new covenant, all of the promises of God have their fulfillment in Christ. He's the yea and amen. Yea and amen means yes, so be it. All the promises of God find their fulfillment in Him, and it's up to you and I to say yea and amen. That means yes, so be it, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, every time we receive one of God's promises manifest in our life, whenever God's Word works in our life, what happens? It brings glory to the Father. Isn't that what Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 15 when He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He says, herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. When will God get glory? When you are a fruitful, prosperous, successful, victorious Christian. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. In the New Testament. Don't go to sleep. Keep your turning finger on the ready. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How are you going to please the Lord all the time? Somebody says, well, I didn't think I could. Well, you can if you're filled with the knowledge of His will. You can and you will and you should. Hallelujah. How are you going to be pleasing to Him? It's going to be by being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's as you're fruitful, as you're prosperous, Christian. That's how it is. That's how you bring glory to your Father. Hallelujah. Now, if God had pleasure in the prosperity of His servant, how many of you know that under the new covenant, part of the reason it's better is we're not just servants of God. Yes, we choose willingly to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're not servants. The Bible says we are sons. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now, not just when we die and go to heaven, but now are we the sons of God. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. If you've received Jesus as your Lord, that's who you are. If you haven't, you can. You should. Hallelujah. Now, turn back in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We need information, so we won't be destroyed. Because God said in His Word in Hosea 4:6, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if we get information, then we'll have the knowledge and we won't have to be destroyed. And don't you know God will be happy about it. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. He says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." Well, if wealth is evil, if wealth is bad, if wealth is wrong, then what business does God have given us the power to get it? Huh? If it's so bad for us, why did He give us the ability to go get it? Why does He teach us how to get it? Huh? Why does He do that? But somebody says, "Don't you know, brother, that money is the root of all evil?" No, I didn't know that. Hold your place in Deuteronomy and turn back to 1 Timothy. Let's get this straightened out. When we go to the Bible, we can get things straightened out. Hallelujah. We can know the truth and it'll make us free. Oh, I'm so glad that I found out that God's Word is not going to put me in bondage. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I found out that it wasn't a hard thing, but it was the doorway to freedom. It was what I'd been hoping for. It was my desire inwardly. Right here, the answer in the pages of this book called the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, it says in verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And of course you can love money whether you have any or not. What this is talking about is loving money and prizing it above other things. Loving it above God. Just making money your God. That's what it amounts to. And you know a lot of people have. You know how to tell if something is your God or not? That's what determines your life. That's what determines your actions. In other words, if you're going to get a promotion or a job transfer or something like that, instead of thinking, is this God's will? Instead of ever praying and asking Him, what would you have me to do, Lord? What would be the best thing for me to do? You just think, oh, I'm going to make another nickel an hour. I'm going to do it. I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, money is your God. If money is the determining factor in what you do, then money is your God. Think about that. Well, I didn't get much applause on that. But this says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, all right, let's just decide right now. It can't be evil. You know why it can't be evil? Because God's not evil. And the way I read my Bible is He is living in some kind of wealth. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, right? Many mansions. Do you understand that? All right. If it's evil, why would He teach us how to do it? Why would He tell us He's given us the power to get it? If it's evil. I don't believe it's evil then, do you? All right. The next question is it possible? Well, you remember 2 Corinthians 8:9? It says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake..." Whose sake? Your sake. Say, "For my sake."
For my sake.
Jesus did what He did.
Jesus did what He did.
That's true. That's exactly true. Everything Jesus did, He did it for you because He loved you. Hallelujah. That's why He did it. "He became poor that you through His poverty, because of what He suffered, because of what He did, that you might be" what? "Rich." Well, what does rich mean? Rich means having an abundance. Rich means having more than enough. Rich means an oversupply. You know what it means. If you talk about a rich dessert, that's one that has an oversupply of calories. Right? Rich, that you might be rich. It didn't say that you would be rich no matter whether you'd believe it or not. He said that you might. be rich. Is the option available to us? Let's turn to... Now, you're supposed to be holding your place in Deuteronomy. But turn to Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things except for prospering materially and financially are possible to him that believeth. Is that the way your Bible reads? Does it? Is it possible? Is it possible? Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. What does believe mean? Oh, we got people running around today. Oh, I believe. Well, what you believe is what you live. That's the best definition there is. When it talks in the Bible about believing, it's not talking about, yes, I heard that through this ear, and yeah, I guess it's all right. Yeah, I guess I believe that. No, it's a strong word. It comes from the be, live. In other words, it's what you're going to be in your life. That's what it means. What you believe is what you will be in your life. What you believe is what you'll talk tomorrow. What you'll act tomorrow. That's what you believe. You understand that? That's what you believe. That's the way you live. The way you live is what you believe. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Is it possible for us to prosper? Oh, is it possible? Oh, even though we weren't born on the right side of the tracks, even though we didn't receive all the education that others did, even though we weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouth, so to speak, even though we didn't have an inheritance from our ancestors to receive financially, is it possible? Is it possible, even though you went through life and you're middle age or old age and you think, well, most of my time's up, is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? Jesus is the best witness I know of. He said, it is possible. Oh, it's possible. It don't matter how old you are. It don't matter how many failures you've made. Oh, most of the people that have made great fortunes in this earth and done great things, they failed a lot of times before they succeeded. You heard about Colonel Sanders, how after he was on Social Security, I believe, already, you know, most people would think, well, it's time to give up. You know, I missed it, and he'd went... failed in several things before, but he started a new business, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Made millions. Oh, it's possible. It doesn't matter where you are, what you've done or what you haven't done. It doesn't matter what kind of a handicap you think you have. God's not handicapped. You understand that? God doesn't have any handicaps. The only handicap that we could possibly ascribe to God would be the unbelief of his people in limiting him and what he'd do. Oh, I'll tell you, under the old covenant, we're going to find this out. In fact, we may just jump over there now. I don't care when we get to it. But we're going to find out that they were blessed materially and financially. Not just a little bit. They was the richest people that have ever walked this earth. I mean, they weren't talking about just millions. They were talking about billions and trillions and jillions of dollars, if there isn't such a word as jillions. But sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, they were blessed. Why? Because of the blessing of God on them. You say, well, then why, if this is the truth and if it's available to us, why haven't we as Christians been doing it? Well, because we didn't believe it. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I'll see how many of you obey instructions and still holding your place in Deuteronomy. You don't have to be an acrobat to be a Bible student, but helps with your fingers. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. By whom, that is, through Jesus Christ. We have access by faith, not by wondering. Do you know, if you're still wondering about something, you're not operating in the realm of faith? He says we have access to what? Into what? Into this grace. Into whose grace? Into whose favor? Into whose provision? God's. We have access by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ into everything that God has. Everything. Do you understand that? Everything that God has. Do you realize God has knowledge tonight? All He'd have to do is give you a word of it and you'd be set for years. Do you understand that? Do you realize that problems that you've been facing, God knows the way out of them? Do you realize that He has the power, He has the ability, He has the wherewithal in every way, in every situation to get you through victorious? Hallelujah. Do you understand that? How do you have access to it? There's only one way. Only one way. It's by faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith. Now, how are you going to have faith? Oh, I'm trying to have faith. Oh, I'm trying. Oh, it's such a struggle. Oh, I've been trying for 3 years to have faith and I still don't. It just won't work. Oh, I guess it'll work for Joe Blow, but it just won't work for me. There's only one way to have faith, and that's to continue in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as you continue in what Jesus had to say, His message, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from unbelief. And when you get free from the unbelief in whatever area you're free from the unbelief, then your faith is going to cause you to rise like a hot air balloon. You understand that? Like a hot air balloon up above the circumstances of life. So what if there's inflation down on the ground? If you're up above the ground, then you don't have to get your toes wet in it. You understand that? So what if there's all these problems? If you'll learn how to rise up above the problems, then the problems don't have to defeat you. Now, you're still in Deuteronomy chapter 8, right? Is it possible? Is it really possible? Is it God's will? Is it possible? Is it sinful? Is it wrong? Is it selfish? Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Boy, that's good advice, you know. It wouldn't hurt if you just put that on a little card and just stuck it up in front of your eyes all the time. Remember the Lord thy God. Well, remember what about Him? Remember this about Him, among other things. Remember Psalm 84:11, the Lord God is your sun and shield. He's the provider. He's the protector. No good thing does He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, I'm telling you, you're upright before God. And God's not holding back from you. Remember the Lord thy God, that it's He that gives you power, ability, might, force, everything you need to get well. Remember that. Remember that the Lord, your God, He's the author and He's the finisher. Remember that He's the creator. Remember that He's the sustainer, the provider, that He's the shepherd, that He'll guide you. Remember, remember, remember. Always remember the Lord, because if you ever get away from remembering the Lord, you're in trouble. But you won't do that. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Why is God interested in you getting wealth? Number one reason He's interested in you getting wealth is because He loves you. Because His plan for you is that your joy be full. He loves you. He really, really loves you. Oh, I wish people would just realize that God means what He says and says what He means. That's why on the radio broadcast, whenever I have time, usually the time just slips away, but I like to close by saying it is God's will for you to prosper and be in health. You know why? Because what I'm really saying is God loves you, but people don't understand God loves you because they go around, you know, love, love, love. Relatives that are hating each other and fighting with each other go up and say, oh, I just love you. Somebody, you know, you go up to some enemy and you say, I love you, you hypocrite. Well, you know, you say, oh, I love this dog, and there's just no meaning in the word. But if people realize that God is interested in their life, that He cares enough about them that He'll help them out of that financial problem, that He's interested in them having their rent paid and food on their table and clothes on their back, He's interested in that. If they understand He cares enough that He'll heal their body if it gets sick, then they realize God does love them. You understand that? That's one reason God gives us that ability. Another, and because He said it, you see. He said under His covenant, His word is on the line, and He said we'd be the tail, the head and not the tail. Forgive me. He said we'd be above and not beneath. You say, yeah, but that's only for those that serve God and do everything right and never make any mistakes. And, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 28, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in His sight and so on, I could never do that. Why, I'm just barely struggling alone. I'll never make it. Wait a minute. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Quit remembering your own stupid situation and remember the Lord your God. Who is He? Who is He? He's Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. That's what His name means. Well, what has He done? What do I remember about Him? Well, He redeemed me. That means He set me free. Christ Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, sanctification. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Remember that He took our place. Did Jesus keep all the commandments? Did He or did He not? Did He hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord His God and do that which is right in His sight and just walk perfect and upright before God and man? Did He or did He not? Then what did Jesus deserve according to the covenant between God and man that was unbreakable? What did Jesus deserve? What did He deserve? Blessing. 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 Well, what did Jesus willingly take? Receive unto Himself the curse, punishment. You know why He did that? Because He loved you. He took what you deserved and what I deserved so that we, by God's grace, could receive what He deserved. What did Jesus deserve? Oh, Jesus deserved God's best. Jesus deserved to prosper and be in health. Jesus deserved to be wealthy, to be rich, to be everything that would bring any joy, satisfaction, peace, or anything in His life. Isn't that what He deserved? Well, if He deserved it, then you have it available to you by His grace. Because He took your place. Another reason it says that He may establish His covenant because He said He would do it. That's why He's going to do it. Another reason what that means is establish His covenant not only in your life, but in everybody else's life. Oh, it takes money to send gospels, tracts to China, to the West Indies. It takes money to send and support missionaries, doesn't it? It takes money to rent meeting rooms and teach people the Word of God so they'll be more fruitful and more productive Christians, and so they'll go out and just explode all over the place bringing glory to God. It takes money. Did you know that? It takes money. And so God has given us the ability, the power, the force, the wisdom, everything to get wealth so He can establish that covenant, not just in our life, but in others' lives too. In other words, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Good news. How many of you know gospel means good news, not bad news? Not the Lord is withholding from you. Oh, it was such a great day in my life when I realized I got a little peep into the truth away from that religious, traditional garbage that had been holding me down and making me believe the lie that, well, maybe God is trying to teach us something through this business going broke and you never having enough and you always being in trouble. You know, maybe God's trying to work out some unknown thing in you. You know, God, sure, maybe someday God will be nice to you and He'll answer your prayers, but you're just not ready now. Well, if God would help you out of this, well, it probably wouldn't be good for you. when I found out Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I found out God's not the one that's holding back. So I went through the Bible and, I found out who it was that was holding back from me. Jesus said it's a thief. Now, he wasn't talking about his Heavenly Father. Jesus never called the Heavenly Father a thief. In John 10:10, he said the thief comes not but for to steal. Steal, 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 steal. Do you realize that if you're going to have something stolen away from you, a lot, most generally you think of something material, don't you? Financial. He has stolen what belongs to us. And if we find it out, we can get it back. Hallelujah. Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come to do the same thing. Bravo, devil. Hit him again. Harder, harder. No, Jesus said, the exact opposite I come for, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody says, well, that's not talking about finances. Well, I don't care if it is or not. I don't have to base what I believe about financial prosperity on 3 John 2 or John 10:10, because those aren't the only scriptures in the Bible. It's just like healing. When I teach on healing, first I go through all the scriptures in the Bible on the side of healing. And then I come to the objections, ones that people stumble around over and struggle over. And then it's no problem at all. You don't have to prove from those scriptures that it is God's will. You just have to see how that doesn't contradict with the weight of the scriptures that's already been presented. And that's the way it is with prosperity. Oh, I'll tell you, friends, the devil has been in this business many, 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 many years. He's been defeated. He's powerless. All he can do is lie and deceive. That's all he can do. He only has one ability, and that is the ability to deceive you from believe in the truth and make you believe a lie so he can get you to destroy yourself. So he has been in the business of coming along for years and making Christians believe that's not for you. That's not God's will for you. It's not God's will for you to be healed. It's not God's will for your little baby to be healed because God is lonely in heaven and he needs her. It's not God's will for you to your business not to go bankrupt. Because God doesn't want you in that business anyway. It's not for you. It's not for you. See, if the devil can convince Christians, that's not for you. That's not for you. That's not for you. That's not God's will for you. That's not God's will for you. That's not God's will for you. And if we believe it, are we ever going to get it? No, because we love God, we're going to sit down and say, well, have your own way, Lord. You know, what will be if it never is. You don't understand that, do you? Well, that's some people's theology. Well, you know, God gets mad at you. Well, we've had it. But God so loved the world that he didn't set out to destroy it. He set out to save it. And my Bible tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My Bible tells me, therefore, that he still loves us today and he's not out to destroy us. He's not out to get us. He's on our side. But if we don't ever believe the Word of God and act on it, you see, believe it. All things are possible to him that believeth. Not all things are possible to him that just sits on the pew, sits on his chair, and just waits to die. All things aren't possible to a person like that because he doesn't believe it. You see, if you believe something, you'll act on it. If you act on it, it'll come to pass. In your life. Glory to God. All things are possible to him that believeth. God is the one that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Is it God's will that we prosper? I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe that the Bible clearly teaches it. I believe that Jesus became poor. He suffered so that we could be blessed materially and financially. You say, well, why are you talking about this? Why don't you just preach the gospel? My friend, this is part of the gospel. Anything that concerns man's life, God is interested in it, and his gospel covers it. God didn't come into this earth in the form of Jesus Christ to redeem mankind just to do a halfway job. You and I might be used to doing halfway jobs, but when God does something, it's perfect. It's complete. It's satisfactory. It gets the job done. It gets it taken care of. You understand that? Now, man was in trouble financially and materially. He didn't start out that way. You remember, God created man, gave him this world to take care of, had all sorts of wonderful things in it, and it was just perfect. All the wealth of this world was made for one man, Adam. Hallelujah. God made it for Adam. God made it for Adam. The devil never created any wealth. All the devil's ever done is perverted things. Spiritual death has never caused anything to be created. It's only caused it to be perverted. You say, well, I think you should just preach more of the gospel, you know, and get people saved. That's exactly what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing because it takes money to get people saved. Thank God for Billy Graham being on TV preaching. How many appreciate Billy Graham? Hallelujah. I do. But do you realize what it costs to go on TV like that? It'd take more than your pocket change right now, I'll tell you that much. It takes millions and millions and millions of dollars to do an effective job. Is it possible? Is it possible? Did Jesus give us a task that couldn't be done? I'm going to give you some figures. They relate to several things. Now, this was from about 3 or 4 years ago, the most recent figures I had. I read out of a book. But according to the government figures, all religious giving in a year, you know what I mean? That'd take in every cult, everything that came under any kind of a covering of a church or religious organization at all. All of it. Total. You understand that? For that whole year in the whole United States was $4 billion. You say, wow, praise the Lord. That sounds pretty good. Wait till you hear the rest of it. The rest of it is based on the incomes of those people. If they would have just given the tithe, which is 10%, which was the minimum that God laid down way, way back, even past the law, if they would have given just the tithe, you know how much it would have came to? $29 billion. That's a lot more than $4 billion, isn't it? If we was even just getting the 10%, you know, even if people were just, that is a bare minimum, well, we could be doing 6-8 times more. You understand that? You say, well, it doesn't matter about money. Well, it matters about money because without money, you're not going to get anything done. You see, Jesus preached more about money than he did about heaven or hell. 4 out of 6 verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke talking about money, material things. You understand that? Jesus talked about money. Why? Because that's where people live and God's interested in it. That's part of the gospel. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he's anointed me. One of the things he's anointed me to do is to preach good news to the poor. Well, what is good news to the poor? Well, you poor, poor people, you just have it. God loves you poor, so stay poor. No, if you've been going hungry, if you haven't been used to getting enough to eat or having any place to live, just laying out in the gutter, good news to you is going to be, look, there has been paid the price. There's been made a way available that you, not because of what you deserve, not because you earn it, but because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, earned it for you in your stead, that you can receive the blessings of God. You say, yeah, but God doesn't have any gold or silver in heaven. God doesn't have any American dollars up there in heaven. That's true. But he already put enough wealth here in the earth that there's enough for all of us. And you know how you're going to get it? By receiving the wisdom of God. Let me give you this figure. It is estimated recently, I read this in a book by Willard Cantillon called The Money Master of the World. In there he gave this these statistics and said that someone had estimated the wealth of the entire earth. You know, the oil and the grain and just everything. All the gold, silver, the wealth of the earth at $1 decillion. $1 decillion. They'd estimated the wealth of the earth at $1 decillion. You know how much that is for 4 billion people? And I haven't counted them in the last week or so, but as I understand, there's somewhere around 4 billion people on the face of the earth. You know how much that is? A piece? A piece for every one of 4 billion people? $1 billion. B is in ball bat. Not M is in mother and million. That's $1 billion a piece. Well, another figure, like I say, I hadn't counted them, you know, I wasn't here to count them, but they tell me that there's as many people alive on the earth today as have ever lived. In other words, maybe there's another 4 billion. Well, if you figure that out, all the people that have ever lived, if we split up the wealth evenly, we'd each have 500 million. That's $500 million apiece. You see, it's not selfish to prosper. In fact, the most selfish thing that you and I could do would be not to prosper financially. You know why? Because it's just like this. If you were sitting on an ocean liner and you were sitting there in your easy chair sipping on a glass of iced tea, just enjoying the breeze and watching the seagulls, and over starboard side, whichever side that is, you hear these cries of help. Help, help, I'm drowning. And all you would have to do is get up out of your chair and walk down there a little ways to where the life preservers are and throw a life preserver out, and you could save their life. Nobody else is out on the deck, see, you're the only one that hears it. If those life preservers were there and you could walk, it'd be selfish for you not to do it, wouldn't it? You understand that? That's the same way. If it's possible for you and I to prosper, if it's possible for you to make in the next 5 years $100,000 more than you made in the last 5 years or $1 million more, and you don't do it, you're being selfish, aren't you? Why? Because you, just by getting up in your faith and going down there and receiving from God His wisdom to help, to make you prosper, He gives you the power, the ability, the might, everything, so you can do it. You can take that prosperity, that money that you get a hold of, and just like a life preserver, you can throw it out to the millions that are needing help. You understand that? Now, if it's not possible, that's a different story altogether. But if it is possible, if Jesus really did become poor that we might be rich, if all things are possible to him that believeth, but we just because, oh, that's too hard to get up in the morning and read the Bible, oh, I don't want to go clear across town and this prosperity seminar and have my faith built, oh, I'm tired from work today, oh, I don't want to go to church this morning, I believe I'll just stay home and take a nap. You're doing, by not doing that, that will build your faith. You're just like sitting on the deck of that ship, sipping your glass of iced tea and saying, well, just forget it, I'm not interested in anybody else, because it's possible for you to prosper. How? By faith. To receive God's help, God's blessing by faith. And if it's possible for you to do it and you don't do it, well, that's selfish. You see, the devil has twisted everything out of focus. He's made us think through traditional religious Christianity, oh, if you ever had anything, if you ever prospered, oh, it'd be so selfish, it'd be so selfish. What the devil wants to have happen is to make you believe if you ever have a nice car that'll start and that'll get there and that has gas in the tank, why, that'd be selfish. You know why? Because he's trying every little trick he can to try to immobilize you. He's trying to get you to stay at home so you can't ever go anywhere to have your faith built. He's trying to get you to stay at home so you can't ever go talk to anybody about Jesus or do anything to help anybody so you can just sit there and suffer. You see, there's a warfare going on, whether you realize it or not, for the souls of men, their lives, and their eternal destiny. Satan is against them, and Jesus is for them. Well, Satan has already been defeated. Jesus already won the battle. Satan did lose the fight. But unless they know the gospel, unless they hear the good news preached to them, they won't receive it, and they'll be destroyed for lack of knowledge. You understand that? How are they going to keep from being destroyed? We preach the good news to them. Then they'll have a chance. Then they'll have an opportunity. Hallelujah. To enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God. To live in the blessings of God. I'll tell you, we're going to take the lid off this prosperity thing. These things don't happen on the inside of you overnight. The Bible doesn't say God rewards them that just sit around once in a while and hope they get something. No, it says He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Them that diligently seek Him. Oh, it reminds me of what it talks about over there in Proverbs. Wisdom is more valuable than rubies and all those kind of things. It says, prize wisdom highly. Put it first. When you do, it says, it'll exalt you. It'll lift you up. It'll promote you. If you'll get a hold of the wisdom of God, friend, there is no limit to where you can go and what you can do and how much glory you can bring to God. I believe it. I have to listen to my preaching just as much as you. I know you're getting tired, but I believe with all my heart that no man alive that's ever lived has ever reached anything near the potential of what we can in Christ. In Christ.